You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the playlist of November. Rod.
Good. Wow. The Jazz explode against Orlando following a trend of offensive explosion since Gobert's gone out. We'll break both those stories down, look around the West, and a little bit of the old NBA 5 type things coming up on today's show from Philadelphia on Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Thanks so much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. We bring it to you Monday through Friday, giving you expertise, insight, taking you behind the curtains, and geeky little stats that you can't get anywhere else. Thanks very much for tuning in. Tell a few friends about it. I think that would be nice of you. We'd appreciate new listeners. We always do. Expand the Jazz Nation. You can catch it on iTunes, Android. You can tell Alexa to play the program Locked On Jazz. You can say, okay, Google, play the program Locked On, or play the, no, you tell, okay, Google, play the podcast Locked On Jazz. And we look forward to bringing you to all the different ones. All right, so Rodney Hood went bananas, and it's been a continuation of him playing consistently and well and some really interesting things when we dig in. To whether he's done this before or not. Encouraging things. The Jazz have completely flipped who they are since Gobert's gone out. We'll talk about that. We'll look around the West and see if we can see any trends. We're about to hit the 15-game minute mark, 20-game minute mark, 20-game mark, not minute mark, 20-game mark is the big one. So we're getting close. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving week. A lot of fun stuff going on. We've got all sorts of exciting little news and notes for you, and I'll share some of them coming up with you this week. Today's show is brought to you by the store where you want to be doing your Thanksgiving shopping, and by Murdoch Chevy. And, you know, we've got all sorts of other little friends out there and around. So thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. All right, the other night, and if you've listened to Jazz Game Rewind or you heard it live, I went a little bananas. But what Rod was doing was absolutely unreal. Absolutely unreal. He just got hit his first one. We were talking about this last night at dinner. I went to dinner with Travis Henderson, the Emmy Award-winning director, and Scott Rogers, the graphics guy, does great work for Jazz TV, and they always have such a great perspective. And Travis said the minute Rodney hit his first three, you kind of looked at him and could see something was going on. The other one on Rod's performance, and we will do the game recap here in a second, that we always do, was that he missed his first few shots. He had that bandage on his thumb. And honestly, I kind of figured, all right, well, here goes a bad Rod night that, I just kind of assume that maybe, he has good nights, he has bad nights. The thumb was going to bother him. But instead, you saw a little grit and perseverance and fighting through it. And he ended up having one of the best nights of his career, 31 points, couldn't miss. As I said on the broadcast, he was running through Disney World, winning every prize. It was pretty awesome. Let's run through the two games of the weekend, and we'll dig back into Rod a little bit more. We always open up the show with our kind of quick analytical check. I'm going to try to make it a little faster. So Brooklyn game was the Jazz get blown out, 118-107, really never close. They go down on the wrong side of a 14-2 run in the first quarter, and they never get it back inside 10 points. The defensive rating that night was a 121. Again, on analytics, league average is right now about 106. Offense, anything over 110 is good. Anything under 100 is great defense. Jazz allowed 121.6. The offense was a 110. It's pretty good. good defensive rebounding night. Offensive rebounding stayed below average. Effective field goal percentage. The Brooklyn Nets shot 61% effective field goal percentage, hit 17 of 37 from three. Spencer Dinwiddie killed us. The Jazz shot pretty well. They shot 57%. 46 points in the paint. Favors did not have the impact you would have thought he was going to have in those 29 minutes. He just never seemed to get going, but Ingles went 5 for 5. Hood had a good game at 17. Mitchell had career-high rebounds and assists. And Howell Neto came off the bench for 22. And it wasn't a good night. Got run. 4 nights in New York might be a lot. Not from a party standpoint. Just, I was exhausted. I can't do 4 days in New York. My brain just never stops. Kind of continuing on one of the themes we've talked about a lot that you're probably really sick of hearing is, you know, there's a weird level where this, just so much of this league is a make or miss league. On given nights, the Jazz, by the end of that night, were last in the NBA defending the three-point shot. Last. Which just seems weird. Particularly because it's so contrary to where the Jazz have been in the past. And we'll dig into this a little bit more coming up in regards to the impact of no Gobert. But on that night, they did give up 50... Sorry, I have the wrong night here. Give me 1 second. I went to the... I have the right night. NBA is wrong again. Golly. Can they have a worse year? The Brooklyn... There we go. On that night, Brooklyn went 25 of 51 on uncontested shots. 51 is a lot. And the Jazz actually had a pretty good shooting night, too. They went 20 of 46. Donovan Mitchell was 1 of 8 uncontested. Alec Burks, 1 of 6. Rodney Hood, 5 of 8. Joe, 5 of 5. Favors was 3 of 8. His mid-range shot has not been going down. He hit 2 the other night. So that's pretty good, right? 50% is a pretty high number. The Jazz shot it well, too. You can see it was a good offensive night. But you also wonder a little bit, I will taint our numbers a little bit. When you're down 10 the whole time, they don't need to play a lot of defense. Let's go to Orlando, where the Jazz offense explodes. Now the Jazz are the one with the 128 offensive rating. Even better than what Brooklyn had against them. And the defense was good. The defense kept Orlando to an 87.1 in a 40-point blowout win, which was the largest road win in franchise history. Jeremy Brunner, who is our producer for Jazz TV, told me, let me see if I can get this right, it is the largest win by a road below 500 team against a home above 500 team in the history of the NBA. Favors was brilliant, rolling to the basket, dominating 10 of 12, 25 points. I mean, we go right now as Derek goes. Neto was plus 44 in 24 minutes. And Rodney had 31 points in 26 minutes and went bananas. I mean, crazy bananas. And it was fun. And it will skew all of our numbers for a while in weird directions. Make or miss league? Right? Let's go check. The Jazz... 24 of 57, 42%. They actually made everything around the basket because Favors had such a great day around the basket when it's 7 of 9. And Hood made 6 of 8 contested shots because he was just in a different planet. And Orlando, who had been making, came into the game as the fourth best or third best three-point shooting team. It's just not that good. They started to miss. They went 21 of 56. And then didn't make anything contested. The real one the Jazz did was made all their contested looks. Jarebko went 5 of 7. He's played well. Quinn is unbelievable at his ability to know when he needs something out of a player and getting it. Cephalosha starts the first game, finds out Gobert is going to be out for a long time, goes to Jarebko as the starter. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but what does make sense is I'm going to need Jonas Jarebko to be good. Right? Like, at this point, he's basically, I've got to get something out of Jarebko now, right? Cephalosha can give, but right now at that point, Jonas was coming off the bench, wasn't giving you a great deal, wasn't contributing the way you needed. So Quinn starts him, and now he's 8 as a starter. He's shooting 52% from the field. He's 8 of his last 17 from three. He's had 5 or more rebounds in 3 of the last 4 games. And Quinn's gotten some, and we've been positive on the floor in 3 of the last 4. Quinn's a master at just understanding when and how you've got to get something from a player. Just an absolute master at it. So that's the rundown. I tried to do it fast. I don't think I really left anything too important out. But the Jazz, you know, the Jazz went bananas. Effective field goal percentage was 55%. Not as high as Brooklyn's the other night. Pace was in the middle of the pack on that one. Let's talk about Rodney. So Rodney has now linked a sequence of games together that he did not do at any point last year. He's 9 straight games of 13 or more. His last 9 games, his scoring is 17, 12, 19, 19, 19, 16, 30. Huh, that's interesting. I saved a bunch of stuff and lost some stuff. That's not good. 30. Another solid night in there, which I think was 19. And then 31. 17 was the other one. In fact, if you go other than the 0 for 11 night, and he does have the 2 games where he's inactive, he's 20, 22, 13, 25, 0. So that's the bad night. 17, 12, 19, 19, 19, 16, 30, 17, 31. That's a pretty fun little stretch and consistent. It's a 9 game stretch, 42% from the field, 40% from 3, 20 points a game, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. You know, the guy's a scorer. Guy is just, he's not an assister, he's not a rebounder, he's not a free throw shooter, he's a scorer. It means he has a slim margin of error every night, but right now he's playing inside that slim margin of error. And so let's look at, is this unusual? It is, if you remember Rodney Hood last year, and remember Dennis Lindsay's big point at the end of last year was you can't evaluate Rodney for this year the same way you shouldn't evaluate Rudy Gobert after the MCL year. So, I mean, Rodney, last year, the playoffs are a mess. He only goes over in the final 10 games he plays, he goes over, he hits 20 once, he hits 18 once, everything else is less. Previous 20 games, which are, you know, he's never playing more than 5-6 games in a row. He's got a 28 and a 19, but nothing else. Plays 3 games in the middle, he gets a 20. I mean, so you go back and look at his year. He's inactive at the Memphis game on November 14th. I can't entirely remember why. Prior to that, games 4 through 11 last year, 19, 22, 18, 18, 18, 20, 13, 17. Right? He's rocking it. He's rocking it. So that's an 8-game stretch. 18 points a game. He's even better than 50% from the field, 44% from three. If you take it back to game 1, so you take his first 11 games here, he's 47% from the field, 41% from three, and 17 points a game. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So there it is. Beginning of last year, he then misses a game. Then he plays a sequence of games in which he plays okay, 40%, 31% from three, And then he doesn't dress again, and then he plays three games, and then he doesn't dress for two, and then it's for the season. Like, there it is. But at the beginning of last year, this was Rodney Hood again. So we go back to 15-16, and that year just looks completely different than last year. There are numerous cases of 11 straight games of double figures. There's a sequence of 22 of 23 games of double figures. There's actually a little bit of a consistency and a bell curve that's not crazy. Bell curve we talk about with Rodney is how many, you know, what he's able to do from night in and night out. You go from January 10th for Rodney to February 29th that year. So a span of 23 games, 18 points a game. 43% shooting, 41% from three. You know, again, four rebounds. He actually had three assists in this time period. It's a long stretch. 41% from three for a 23-game stretch. He goes double figures in 22 of those 23. He goes over 20 at 1.4 out of five and 7 out of 10. It's pretty good. Maybe that's what we're walking to. He closed that year with another streak that kind of makes you get optimistic about Rodney. Game 67 to game 80, he's terrible in the last two. He's 16 points a game. It's a 14-game stretch, 44% from the floor, 36% from three. His bell curve's pretty wide in here. He's got a 28. He's also got an 8 and a 7. It's not as consistent. He wore down. What has Dennis Lindsay always said about Rodney Hood? He's got to get his body up to the level where he has strength that is equal to the average of his position so he can maintain. We'll see if he can do it. That's the key. It is Thanksgiving week, which means you need to go to the store. 6200 South and 20th East. They have everything you need to make Thanksgiving incredible. Absolutely everything. Okay, the turkeys are amazing. I've worked with Distel Farms. They've taste tested everything, had it all worked out for everyone to make sure that they got the right stuff, and they've this is new this year that they're with them. Absolutely terrific. The second item are the various sweets and the pies that they have. The cake floors they have are remarkable. It's just a great environment and a great feel at the store at 6200 South and 20th East. Not to mention that right next to them is Cottonwood Ace. So if you have some of those kind of things, if you're going to do any crazy deep frying, or if you're going to barbecue, or you're going to do any of those kind of things during Thanksgiving, you need to go over next door stop by Cottonwood Ace. But you can pre-order your fresh Distel turkey for $3.99 a pound. You might just call the meat department directly. It's 801-272-1212, extension 2. 801-272-1212, extension 2. I think they want the call by Monday, which is today. 801-272-1212, extension 2. But they've got it all. Hams, potatoes, yams, assortment of gravies, various stuffings, cranberry sauce. Oh, the rolls. Oh, the rolls they have them. They're frozen rolls. They're right in the front when you walk in. They're right there. Just grab them. They're incredible. Trust me. They're amazing. Ready-to-eat pies, cakes, various baked goods, chocolate turkeys, because everyone needs a chocolate turkey. So do it. They've got great stuffing, gluten-free stuffings. If you got that person coming, I know. We all do, don't we? So do it. Go over to the store at 6200 South 20th East and stop by Cottonwood Ace while you're there as well. All right. We are a completely different team than we were with Rudy Gobert. Like, flipped. Absolutely flipped. So we're 2-3. We're the third best. The Jazz are the third best offense and the 22nd ranked defense. We were pretty much the exact opposite. In five games without Gobert, the team's shooting 47% from the field and 42% from three. Almost 40% of our shots have been three-point shots. And on the flip side, we've had three just brutal defensive games. A 114, a 117, and a 116 defensive ratings. Three of the last five games, the Jazz have scored over 60 points in the first half. Four of the last five games, the offensive efficiency has been 110 or better. We're 43 of our last 95 from three for 45%. Why? So we'll talk about offense and we'll talk about defense, the exact opposite in a second. So why? Well, the floor is spaced better with playing Jarebko and Cephalosha as your fours. The Udo Favors lineup is no longer playing. So every lineup the Jazz have on the floor right now is a lineup that is highlighted by being spread. And we may be seeing just how good Quinn Snyder's lineup is, team, you know, offense is when with a spread floor. We saw it a little bit last year when we went to Joe Johnson and were unstoppable for a while. But maybe Quinn's ball movement, player passing with a spread floor is particularly awesome. There's a real chance of that. And we're seeing it. And we've taken out the offensive combinations, the Rubio Favors Gobert offensive combinations that were bad. Right? So, like, what is suddenly not on the floor anymore? Rudy Gobert and Ricky Rubio together were in 92.7, usually with faves, in fairness, right? Remember, anything under 100 is not good. Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors were in 93.5 together. The lineups that do have some offensive prowess, Cephalosha in at the four, things of that nature are suddenly showing up. Gobert-Cephalosha was not a great combination. That's not playing together anymore. The other one is if Rodney can keep going, Donovan can establish himself, Faves can be aggressive, then Rubio stops shooting so much. Frankly, by the way, the Gobert-Joe Johnson matchup lineup was probably the worst we had since Joe wasn't right. Just taking some time. But if Ricky has been shooting, playing a little less and shooting a little less, let him get back to being who he is and what he does well. Excuse me. What we were asking out of, you know, I thought Alan Horton in Minnesota saw every game he played when he left Minnesota. He's like, this is as much on the Jazz as it is on Rubio. And sure, he's a Rubio fan. But you're asking him to do something he simply can't do and doesn't do well. And we still are tearing him up a little bit. Like, he's going to have to come out of this. But maybe the way Rod was able to pull out of his early season stuff, we can see Rubio do the same. Neto's playing well, lessen the burden on him a little bit. And I think we can have a little bit better luck. But the shot attempts from Rubio in the last five games, 5, 9, 7, 10, 9. Right? Like, the three's not falling. He's one of the seven best mid-range shooters. One bad turnover game in there, but 5-1-3-0-1. He has had some lower minute games, 2-22s and a 16 in there. But, and one of those is an injury, right? So, I mean, it's really the last four games we're talking about. And he's just been better. Like his when he takes 16 shots, when he goes 4 of 16, when he goes 3 of 12, when he goes 8 of 17, when he goes 6 of you're not going to win. It's too much to ask out of him. And the negative impact when he has a bad shooting night is just too much. Last time we played Philadelphia, he was 4 of 16. So that seems to be a part of it. Let me tell you about the defense in just a second. Murdoch Chevy. Holiday, a little truck shopping? Are you going to do a little truck shopping for the holidays? So Tyson's running the Murdoch Chevy up in Woods Cross. The kind of awesome thing about the Murdochs and Chevy is 91 years. Is that incredible? The Murdochs have been selling Chevys for 91 years in Utah. And if you're a Chevy family, then you know. And if you're gonna stay being a Chevy family, which is what Chevy families do, then you should stay with the Murdoch family. Chevys have got the only truck line that has all three truck segments: the heavy-duty Silverado, the light-duty half-ton truck, the mid-size truck Colorado. I think I'm actually going to go head up to Tyson on Tuesday and drive a Chevy for a little while. We'll see what he gives me for the winter if we ever have winter in Utah. Great line of SUVs: the Suburban, the Tahoe, the Equinox, the Traverse, and the Trax. Three rows of seating in the Traverse. They've got terrific November appreciation month sales going on. More importantly, it's the Murdoch family, so you have that experience, that no-regret experience that the Murdoch give you. Five-day guarantee, if you're not pleased. Car washes for life. Extended hours and service. That's what makes the Murdoch family unique and what makes your experience there. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that you feel that 91 years of connection to the Utah community and selling Chevys. Murdoch Chevy, go visit Tyson up at Woods Cross. Go up in Linden if you want to as well, Logan, if that's more convenient for you. Specific deals for November right now: $10,000 off the remaining 2017 Silverados, $9,000 off the Tahoes and Suburbans. And I think there's one other. $7,000 off the remaining Traverses. Price match guarantee. Safety inspections for life. Car washes for life. And the five-day exchange policy. That's what Murdoch's all about. All right. We were going to do around the NBA. We're getting long today. It's 30 minutes already. Let's go to where our defense is different. It's pretty interesting. When Gobert plays, we're the sixth best defense in the restricted area this year. When he is in games he hasn't played, we're 20th. We are number one in the NBA when Gobert plays at paint non-restricted area, allowing 31%, which is a little unnatural. And when he doesn't, though, we were number one last year too, just 31% is too low. When he doesn't play, we're 23rd. Corner three, we've always been one of the best teams in the league at defending the corner three. We're fourth best in the league when Gobert plays. Since Gobert's gone out, we're 25th at 52%. Pretty wild, isn't it? Around the rim from 6th to 20th. In the paint from 1st to 23rd. Corner threes, which all have to do with who can help and needs to help and overhelps because Gobert's not there, from 4th to 25th. That is the value, the incredible value of Rudy Gobert. A few interesting things going on in the NBA overall. FanRag Sports today had an interesting piece projecting the top 25 players in 3 years by Jared Johnson. 25, Jaylen Brown. 24, Dame Lillard. 23, Paul George. 22, Draymond Green. 21, Russell Westbrook. 20, Aaron Gordon. That seems to be a little much. 19, Jason Tatum. 18, Devin Booker. That seems a bit much. 17, Michael Porter Jr., who's at the Missouri right now. 16, Rudy Gobert. 15, DeMarcus Cousins. 14, Kyrie Irving. 13, Luka Doncic played for Igor at the Real Madrid, or for plays for Real Madrid, played for Igor in Slovenia Eurobasket. I mean, this is just, you're being fun, right? No, frankly, no rookie's going to be the 13th, second year player's going to be the 13th best player. Jokic 12th, Curry 11th, LeBron 10th, Karl Anthony Towns 9th, Porzingis 8th, Ben Simmons 7th, Harden 6th, Durant 5th, Embiid 4th, Karl Anthony Towns, or excuse me, Anthony Davis 3rd, Kawhi Leonard 2nd, and Giannis 1st. I love Giannis, too, but he better learn a jump shot at some point, I think. Ron Boone's big on that. Thinks that Giannis still needs to add a jump shot. Kawhi is, too, is pretty interesting. Embiid at 4 and Simmons at 7 means that Philly has two of the top 10 players in the league. Gordon Hayward is no longer in the top 25, but three of his teammates are. Maybe not. Maybe he can't come back off that injury. Crazy he'd be the fourth best player. Though Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are unreal, and Jason Tatum is just great. And he's so long. From Summer League, he looked just great. I mean, he just looks the part. And the concerns on him, in retrospect, were so silly. Too mid-rangey, too Carmelo Anthony. Boy, just coach him, right? He's fabulous. So that list was pretty interesting. The NBA overall, things really shuffle out by the 20th game of the season. So I was going to do more on this. I'll do more on it tomorrow. But right now, if you just look at the advanced metrics, which usually give you a pretty good clue of where everything sits, the Warriors are on another planet. Houston is pretty close to another planet. Boston and Toronto are about the same, interestingly. Then the Thunder and Portland are really high. Washington's right after that. Detroit holding steady with San Antonio. Denver, who got blown out last night, guys ejected, all sorts of nuttiness, is after that. Minnesota is not. Minnesota's just sitting right around 500. Would you feel like they should be better than that? And their record is. They've gotten a lot of late game breaks so far this year, after years of not getting them. But this is a big stretch right here, because in the Eastern Conference, Orlando's at 8-6, at 5, and 11 is 6-8, and 12 is 5-7. Same thing in the West. Minnesota's 8-5, or New Orleans 8-6, depending where you want to cut it, at 4-5. And then the Jazz, the Lakers are 6-8. The Clippers, who've lost 6 in a row, are 5-8. Jazz are on the wrong side of the schedule, remember. We had our easy stretch, didn't take advantage of a brutal stretch coming. So I think we're actually a little further back than it looks in the standings. Unless we can really rectify something and figure it out. We'll see. One last mention for you today. Wanted to throw it out there. When you're done cooking and you're totally overwhelmed by everything of this Thanksgiving week, that is the perfect time, when it's all said and done, for you to go sign up for Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one home-cooked delivery, fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. So they create the recipes. They send you all the ingredients nicely, perfectly packaged, and then you get to cook it at home. It's a fun family event. It's a fun, nice way to know, not have to go to the store and what you're getting. They deliver it nicely in a perfectly set up packaging. You have great flexibility in what you're able to order each and every time, whether it's the crispy wild Alaskan pollock or the garlic mashed potatoes with roasted broccoli tartar sauce, whether the cheesy broccoli baked pasta with crispy thyme breadcrumbs. So they're really, really are superbly well done. They're fun. My wife does them with the kids. And most of all, they're healthy, good for you. And they prepackage everything so there's no waste. You know, you're not going to the store and buying, 800 of something that you need three of, which is nice. Here's what you need to do. Go to blueapron.com/lockjazz. They didn't put an E on it. So LOCKJAZZ. You get $30 off your first order. LOCKJAZZ. $30 off your first order. And you get free shipping as well. That's blueapron.com/lock. LOCKJAZZ. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Great variety, flexible, easy step-by-step, guaranteed freshness, and you can select what orders you want each and every week. So it's great fun. Do it with blueapron.com/lockjazz, LOCKJAZZ. All right, we got a bunch of stuff. Busy week. We'll do shows for you. I think we'll do Friday. I'll do Friday. We'll take Thursday off. How's that? Does that sound good? You cool if we take Thanksgiving Day off? So we'll take Thanksgiving off, come back with you Friday, so when you're shopping, you'll have a show, and bring you a little Locked On Jazz. I don't know when we'll do Facebook Live this week. We'll have to figure that out and get your thoughts on that. Ron and I will be on the floor live before tonight's game, an hour before tip-off. I honestly don't know if we tip off at 5 or 5:30 right now. I have no idea. I'll find out for you in a second. Tells you a little bit about how my life works. Let me see. 7 o'clock game. So we tip off at 5. So 4 o'clock on the floor on Facebook Live on UtahJazz.com or Utah Jazz Facebook. So make sure you join us for that. We look forward to having you. And thanks very much for tuning in to another edition of Locked On Jazz. Have a great day. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the Thanksgiving week.